Good morning. Welcome to worship. A special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home. As we prepare our hearts, I'll invite all who are able to stand for a brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Father of our Lord Jesus, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading is from Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your body shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Second reading is from Galatians, the 6th chapter. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what's right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. When you enter, say, peace to this house. Jesus says that as he sends out this group of 70 to those places Jesus himself will be going in the near future, now that he has turned his face toward Jerusalem. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And they're directed to bring that message of peace, to do healings, and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. The concept of the harvest is tied to the reception of this message. The people who will hear about the coming kingdom of God. The people who are ready to hear the gospel. The harvest is plentiful. Proclaim to them peace. There are many ways of understanding this particular metaphor of Jesus's. Today I'd like to focus on just one. The idea of a plentiful harvest is that the crop has grown, the fruit is ripe, and it's up to the laborers to simply go out and collect it. One might imagine the hardest work is already done. The planting, the growing, the irrigating, now just the harvest. It's sending the disciples into a world that's ready to receive them. And they're going to come into the house and share the message. Peace. Now, I grew up on a farm, and there was a lot of feelings and associations I have with harvest. The one I'll never have is peace. If the harvest is plentiful and ready, that is not peaceful. It's a time of incredibly hard work. It's a time full of anxiety. When we would harvest hay, especially with three or four times a year, you'd make a cutting, and the way that works is if you cut the grass and then you let it out to dry, if it rains on it, it all gets ruined. We're fully anxious. I remember watching my dad listening to the weather reports from the coast, trying to predict, well, that's probably going to be what's happening here, and then pray that this holds out. It was at harvest time that it was distinctly possible you could lose everything. I do remember distinctly the year we couldn't get enough workers to pick our 14 acres of strawberries, and we saw fruit rot on the plants. We eventually got some out, but we didn't make much money that year. Even in the best of circumstances, harvest is chaotic. You have this small window of time to get an amazing amount done. There was harvest. It was plentiful. But it was not a time of peace. But here in our story, these disciples were sent out two by two, were headed into places where Jesus would be headed in the future. They were told to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. They're heralding Jesus' transformative power in the world that's coming. And all they could really say is something that we cannot fathom is happening soon. You know, there was another person who talked like that. Prepare the way, the kingdom of God has come near. It was John the Baptist. And one thing John never said was anything about peace. He tended to talk about you are a brood of vipers and rhetoric in that term. But here, that's what they say first. You enter into a house, Peace to this house. Peace is preparing them to meet Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. People are ready. That's what the message is. However, as I reflected in my newsletter article this month, a question that might arise for some of us. Does it feel like the harvest is so plentiful? I think sometimes it can be hard to see that right now. We're living in a time of struggle for a lot of people. It seems to be a time of deep wounding. We're all still affected and devastated by the mass shootings we've had in the past month and a half. The long duration of the pandemic has been hard on all of us, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And every time we think we've taken that turn out of it, we get this subtle reminder, or not so subtle reminder, that it's not yet changed. Just saw Lane County went back to high risk again. In the past few weeks, there have been a string of decisions coming out of the Supreme Court that have shown how incredibly divided our society is. The deep emotions have been immense, and the responses have run the complete gamut of devastation and anger to adulation and joy, all within the same society. It seems the only thing we really agree on is that we don't like how the other side is responding. I think those deep divisions were not caused by the court. They were there the whole time, but they're incredibly visible right now. And that visibility can open up old wounds that have been dwelling for a long time. And with all this, I have heard from so many feelings of exhaustion, discouragement, or even meaninglessness and hopelessness. And in all of that, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. And the message to prepare them for the cross and the resurrection is to share with others the message, peace. We might think a message of peace would just fall on deaf ears right now. If we share the peace of the Lord is with you always, as we will later in the service, people in moments of pain in their lives may not feel very connected with that. But when Jesus talks of peace, he talks of a peace that is dynamic, a peace that acts in the world. I think sometimes when we hear that word peace, all we mean is that we aren't visibly or audibly in conflict with one another at present. It becomes a statement of status quo, as if to say, when they enter a house and say peace to it, all it's saying is, well, I'm fine with everything here. That's not the peace that Jesus sends them with. This peace is a cosmic reality. A lot of people have come to, maybe we shouldn't use the English word peace, but use the Hebrew word shalom to indicate that this is about wholeness. The wholeness of the entirety of the world in harmony. To bring the entire world into peace is not to leave things status quo. It's a drastic thing. It recognizes the world we live in is a broken one. People are in deep conflict with one another. We are in bondage to the power of sin and cannot save ourselves, as we said in our confession. All is not right, and Jesus has no interest in leaving it status quo. Jesus recognizes pain and addresses it. This peace changes who we are. The peace Jesus is talking about is the peace that is accomplished only at the cross. In our reading from Galatians this morning, Paul says the entire world has been crucified, allowing the coming forth of new creation. The cross radically changes the reality of the world and frees us from the brokenness we continually live in. But of course, while the new creation is already present in Christ, so too do we still live in what Paul calls the present evil age. The conflicts and the pains that are very real in our lives. So when these disciples go and proclaim peace to the households they visit, they're warned. You are like lambs in the midst of wolves. It is to say, this message might not be received so well. On the one hand, we can hear them ask, why wouldn't anyone want to hear a message of peace? But it's a peace that's drastic. It's a peace that causes transformation. And while it's easy to talk about the transformation of the world around us, but so also for ourselves. And that can be very uncomfortable. After all, when we are wishing a blessing of peace upon another, it indicates that at present, it doesn't feel so peaceful. It feels conflicted. It feels like we're at odds. That's when you're asked to provide the blessing of peace. Not when things seem great, but when they are difficult. So when these disciples go forward with their blessing of peace, they're also asking people to see in their own lives what is not so peaceful. Where they need to hear that peace. In short, it opens up the wounds we carry within ourselves. But then see what Jesus says. Jesus says, sometimes they'll receive that peace and other times they won't. But then it says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labor deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Rather than this being jumping from door to door to door, this was an invitation to stay. An invitation to stay present with one another. It's an invitation to dwell together as a community, to eat, to spend time. Again in Galatians, bearing one another's burdens. Being community together. Jesus tells them, when they wish peace upon this house, they might accept it or reject it, but then it tells them to remain. Notice it did not tell them, only if they receive it do you stay there. Even if they reject this peace, they are invited to remain, to spend time, share a meal. It doesn't say precisely what they're going to say, aside from proclaiming the kingdom of God is near. Well, as a matter of fact, Jesus has not yet died or been raised. It's probable they wouldn't know what to say. But maybe that's not the point. Our words are often things that are not nearly as helpful as our time together. Being in each other's presence in a real way. That is frequently where we see peace. We might think of that in our own relationships. Right now, as we continue to see our fractured relationships and tensions between families, between loved ones, I invite us all to dwell together. That we wish each other peace in a meaningful way. We don't know how that's received, but we do know how to be present with each other. We know how to give people the space and attention that we all need to see each other as beloved people of God. We can be one community of humans together by being in each other's presence, by seeing behind our ideologies of one view or another, behind the frustration, behind the anger, behind the hurt. We can see each other as humans before Christ. To be able to dwell together. That's the kind of peace Jesus is talking about. It enlivens us, empowers us, and transforms us, and indeed the world around us. The harvest is plentiful? Very much. Yes, it is. This message of peace that the world cannot give the transformative power of grace and love and peace in this world. So we conclude with our traditional prayer for peace. If any of you know it, I invite you to join me. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just words, give to us, your servant, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our hymn of the day.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Lord of the harvest, you send your church into the world to proclaim Christ's new creation to all. Renew the church as it carries out your mission in our world. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your creation abounds with flowing waters and diverse creatures. Guide the work of scientists as they develop and advocate ways to restore Earth's natural balance. Motivate humankind to adopt lifestyles that protect and sustain the Earth. God of grace, hear our prayer. You guard the nations. Let no leaders exalt themselves, but lift up the most vulnerable and work for the good of all. Send your Spirit to eradicate inequity and injustice, violence and war, poverty and hunger. God of grace, hear our prayer. You desire abundant life for as we celebrate Independence Day, instill in us gratitude, generosity, and persistence in working toward freedom for all people. God of grace, hear our prayer.
You give us children to nurture in faith, and so today we give you thanks for the children entrusted to our care this past week, and for all of the leaders and helpers who made Vacation Bible School a fun-filled week of growing in faith toward you and in love toward one another. We also pray for the summer staff at Camp Lutherwood as they share your love with all the campers entrusted to their care. God of mercy, hear our prayer. You care for all people in need. Heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving, and give peace to those who are struggling. Today, especially, we remember before you Terry Chapp, Linnea Embleton, Arlene Fors, Claudia Hardwick, Dolores Lewis, Chris and Dave Prescott, Alice Rothstein, Marilee Sutton, and those we hold in our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. You promise salvation to all, and so we remember the saints who proclaimed your reign on earth, and all of your beloved who now rest in you. Make us faithful in our witness to Christ's new creation. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these prayers spoken and those we hold in our hearts into your holy keeping. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The shalom of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace now with one another. Thank you.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Right duty and joy, that we should at all times and all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death and, as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and as the Spirit moves you to come forward today to receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it into the cup. Come, for all is now ready. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a couple of announcements before the benediction. As you know, we have soon to be Pastor Ben. We have his ordination on Saturday at 2 p.m. with a reception following. I encourage you to come and celebrate with us that day. Bishop Lori Larson Caesar will be with us to preside over the ordination and installation. And it will be a festival worship and a festive occasion. I mentioned in the prayers, Vacation Bible School, we had a wonderful week. The children were excited, and many of the little ones told me after the week was over, can't we come again? Can't we come back? Can't we keep coming? And so that's a good feeling. The volunteers were spectacular. So thank you to all of you who made that possible, and for those of you who shared your children and grandchildren with us. We are delighted to have them here celebrating. We also want to continue to remember Camp Lutherwood staff in our prayers as they continue their summer season of camping and greeting those who are present at camp this summer. Finally, I want to announce that today after this service, if you would like individual prayer, we have a new ministry beginning today, and it'll be offered on the first Sunday of each month, where Stephen Minister or prayer advocates are going to be in the chapel, and they will meet with you for individual prayer, laying on of hands if you wish. If you wish to take an opportunity of that, please just go at the end of the service into the chapel, and they will greet you there. I believe it's Gary and Gretchen this morning, so thank you to the two of you for offering this ministry today. And finally, I just want to remind you that as we go through the season of Hayward Field being occupied largely, we've reserved about half the spots for officials and media folks, but there's still going to be plenty of parking for our members and people that need to come by to do church business. But know that in the next couple weeks, the traffic will increase around the university here. And so you may need to enter the church through on 19th Street through the alley. With that, I'll conclude the announcements and invite all who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.